Today is Sunday, June the 7th, 2020. If you would take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll get there in just a couple of moments. This morning we're going to look at a psalm with only 6 verses. And I think you're going to find it very encouraging, and hopefully it'll inspire you to put all of your trust in God, not only in these very troubling days, but at any time. So in a few minutes, we're going to look at Psalm 23, which you probably know starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I thought before we read this psalm, especially after what I taught last week, I wanted to lay a little foundation for what I'm going to teach. Last week we saw God is literally our Father. That's the relationship that we as born-again ones have with Him. It's not figurative, it's not a metaphor, it's literally true because of birth. We are born again, born from above. God is our Father. It's a beautiful relationship, and it's literally true. You know, the greatest example of a son with the Father is our Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible says always did the will of the Father. Jesus Christ obeyed His Father and served His Father. In the culture of the Bible, a son would obey and serve his father. So when you think about that, we as God's children, we ought to obey and serve our Heavenly Father, right? As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's our example, we obey and serve God our Father. In the Old Testament, they did not have that privilege of being sons and daughters of God by birth. And we know that because it all started on Pentecost. But we need to watch that we're not arrogant when we remember that they weren't children of God by birth. They were just servants, and boy, we're so much better than they are because we're children of God. We should be so very thankful God has given us such a special relationship of being our Father. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. We should be thankful, grateful, and not arrogant. And also keep in mind when we get to Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," that does not mean that God is literally a shepherd. And it doesn't mean that people are literally sheep. It's a metaphor. And again, we got to be careful and not say, well, those people, you know, back then they were just sheep. We're sons and daughters of God. We're so much better than they. You know, 2 Timothy tells us all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine. And doctrine means teaching, and in that context, it would be right teaching. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, right teaching, reproof, and correction. In Romans, it says, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." And that word learning in Romans is the same word as doctrine in 2 Timothy. So all scripture is profitable for right teaching. In the Bible, God at times uses imagery to show us who He is and what He will do. Remember in Psalm 91 we looked at a few weeks ago, His wings, His feathers. In Psalm 23, God's comparing Himself to a shepherd taking care of His sheep. So, yes, we have this beautiful, close relationship as children of God by birth. He's our Father. And God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, has chosen to be our God, right? He's both. He's our Father and He is our God. So when we read in the Bible God describing who He is as God and what He can and will do as God, is that not applicable to us? Well, of course it is. We learn from His words how great our God is and what He will do for us. 1 Corinthians 3, in talking about teaching them God's word, Paul said, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Well, that's not literal. Paul didn't plant seeds on people, and then Apollos came by with a water thing and sprinkled water on him. He went on to say, you are God's husbandry. You know what that word means? Farm. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. We're not literally a physical building or a farm. It's a metaphor. And so when it comes to sheep, Jesus Christ said he was the good shepherd. Well, of course he was. He was doing the will of the Father. And remember what Jesus told Peter? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. In the book of Acts, God told those with responsibilities of leadership, when he met with them at Miletus, he said, feed the flock of God. And so here in 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders, verse 1, which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, don't we wish it was today, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Isn't that beautiful? It's very beautiful. It's interesting, the word translated feed is the same word as shepherd. Shepherd the sheep. Now, a shepherd does more than just give the sheep food. Same is true when Paul said, feed the flock in Acts, shepherd the flock. So, I wanted to point out those things so that as we read Psalm 23, we don't just say, oh, that was really wonderful though for those people back then, for those sheep back then. You know, that's nice for them. You know, I'm a child of God. But rather, as we read this Psalm 23, we're learning and seeing about how great our God is. And God uses this imagery of being our shepherd. So if you would, turn to Psalm 23. You know, this is a psalm of David, and David was chosen by God. David was anointed by Samuel. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. David had the Spirit of God in him. David was a prophet. He was a king of Israel. And here he says, the Lord is my shepherd. My goodness, what humility David had. One of the first things that strikes me about this psalm is David, who, you know, he was a shepherd in his youth, but now he's got some pretty impressive credentials, doesn't he? And yet, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. So let's just read it first, and I'll share some things with you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Many times this psalm is read at a funeral or memorial service, and that's because of verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't believe God intended it for that purpose. I mean, if people do that, that's fine. I don't believe God intended it for that purpose, because as you'll see, this psalm shows God's great love, provision, and protection for his people. And besides that, verse 4 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It's not a psalm about dying, it's a psalm about living. And we'll see that as we read. It'll be even more clear when we get to verse 4 in a few minutes. So verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. God is comparing himself to a shepherd. And so let's keep in mind some of the qualities and responsibilities of a shepherd in Bible times. You know, shepherds in Bible times were very responsible and trustworthy people, dedicated to leading, providing, and protecting the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. God will lead, He will provide, and He will protect. In John 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You don't need to turn there. You could make a note. In Jeremiah 23, God was a little bit upset. And he said, Woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. You've scattered my flock and driven them away. You've not visited them. Behold, I'm going to visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and bring them again to their folds. They shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. God desires that there be pastors or shepherds to take care of his people. Jesus Christ, doing the will of the Father, was the good shepherd. And here in Psalm 23, David writes, The Lord is my shepherd. What a fantastic mind picture that is. God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he's my shepherd, taking care of us, leading us, and protecting us. And then verse 1 says, I shall not want. Well, that covers it all, doesn't it? Shall not want what? Shall not want, period. Whatever it is you need. With God as our shepherd, we shall not want. God as our shepherd will provide. Remember a couple of weeks ago, maybe it's longer than that, I taught on that verse in 2 Corinthians that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Here's just another way of God telling us that he provides. He is my shepherd, I shall not want. In Psalm 34, it says, The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Isn't that beautiful? Does it remind you of Ephesians? God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Philippians says, My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will provide. He's my shepherd, I shall not want. What a verse. You know, we could just quit now if we wanted to, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's it. I mean, this whole psalm could have just been one verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. End of story. Done. It's beautiful. It's a great verse to memorize. Not hard. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Great verse to memorize and then bring to mind. Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Well, there's a beautiful picture. Lush, green pasture. To just lie down and rest. Makes me lie down in green pastures. God gives us the rest we need. God leads us to that rest. Makes us to lie down in that rest. Not just physical rest, but mental rest as well. Jesus said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest, he said, unto your souls. Not just physical body, but rest to your souls. God provides the rest for us. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. God leads us to peace. And we sure could use some peace. You know, sheep won't drink from the moving water. So the shepherds had to, you know, figure it out, make it so that it was still waters. God leads us to the still waters. He leads us to rest and peace. Jesus Christ said, Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, we can choose to allow God to give us the rest we need. We can choose to allow God to give us the peace and quiet we need in these loud and troubled days we're living in. This is what he promised he'll give us. Verse 3, he restores my soul. You know, we know from the scriptures in the New Testament, God is in us by way of his Spirit. A couple of weeks ago, we read in Romans 8:11, but if or since the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Wow. What an advantage we have by having his Spirit in us. God's will has been, always has been, restoration. So in Psalm 23, he restores my soul. See, our spirit's perfect, doesn't need restoring. But my soul? Yeah. God restores our soul. Healing from God is available. He sent his word and healed them. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." The Bible says, "By his stripes you were healed." I'll read you a verse from Jeremiah 30. "For I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds, saith the Lord." I think I'll read that again. That's Jeremiah 30, 17. "I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds, saith the Lord." That's God's will. It says there in Psalm 23, he restores my soul. You know, at times life brings anxiety, distractions, fears. At times our soul needs to be restored. At times our physical bodies need restored. Any part of our life that's been damaged, he restores my soul. Then it says he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God will lead us. He promises to show us the way to go. The Bible says he's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The Bible says God is at work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, gee, what should I do? Ask God, who gives it liberally. God will lead us in the paths of righteousness. And he does this for his name's sake. He will lead us regarding our own personal life, no matter what's going on. And then after all of that, now we come to verse 4. I mean, we've read a lot, haven't we? But now you come to verse 4 and it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." It says, though I walk through, not just walk into. If you walk through something, you come out on the other side. No matter how bad the situation is, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Hundreds of times in the Bible, it says to not fear, not be afraid. Jesus Christ said on a number of occasions, "Fear not." The Bible says God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In Proverbs, it says the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So, can we put our trust in the Lord? Yes. The real question is, will we? Will we choose to put our trust, all our trust, in the Lord? In the midst of a pandemic, will we choose to put all our trust in the Lord? In the midst of these crazy days of riots in the streets, will we put all our trust in the Lord? In whatever we are dealing with in our own personal lives, will we choose to put all of our trust in the Lord? Because we do have a choice, you know. We can either choose to fear or choose to put all our trust in him. Which will we choose? You know, in addition to all we may be dealing with personally in these days that we're living in, there's a whole lot of fear going on. And our adversary uses fear to get our eyes off the shepherd and onto the worst case scenario. You know, fear almost always causes projection. People worry about things that might happen. Oh my gosh, the potential of something that might happen to them. And then it's like, well, you know, if that happens, then you know what? Then this could happen, and then that could happen. And here in verse 4, it says, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Look at that verse. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In Psalm 112, it says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? Because his heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. How many evil tidings have we heard in the last 3 months? Enough already. Oh, gosh. Proverbs 3 says, this is from Proverbs 3:24. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yeah, thou shalt lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. You know, there's some people that just can't sleep. They're worried. Or they have fear and anxiety. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, that's something we have free will to do, isn't it? It's not automatic. We can choose to do that. Not afraid of evil tidings, because his mind is fixed or stayed on thee. Thou will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Is our mind stayed or fixed on God, who is our shepherd? Stayed or fixed on his words? Or is it fixated on everything else going on in this crazy world? All the evil tidings? Are we dwelling on all the dangers? What terrible things could happen? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Proverbs 3:25 says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. If we truly believe that God is our shepherd, then we can say, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God is with me. God is with me. And now, look at the protection that's mentioned in this verse 4. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. These are two, not all, but two of the items a shepherd would carry with him. The rod was a wooden club about 18 inches long. This was for defense. If a wolf or other animal tried to get at the sheep, look out. Here comes the club. I will knock you out. The staff is what we would call a crook. We've all seen pictures of these, the shepherd's crook. It's a long stick, about 4 feet long. It's got a hook at the top. This was used in a number of ways by the shepherds to help the sheep. You know, if a sheep got stuck in the mud or in the water, the shepherd could use that crook, that shepherd's crook, to grab the sheep, pull him out of that. Shepherd also used that crook to pull down branches with leaves to feed the sheep. Remember that verse in Romans? If God be for us, who can be against us? If our God, who comes prepared with a rod for our protection and a staff to help us, how comforting is that? Look at this verse again. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Boy, you see how this verse is referring to living life? To being comforted, because no matter what comes my way from the enemy, my shepherd is there with his club and his crook. So back off. Oh my goodness. This is such a beautiful psalm. Then comes verse 5. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What? Not a literal table. It represents what you put on the table. A feast. His blessings. He prepares a table in the presence of mine enemies. Evil is certainly present in this world, isn't it? We live in this evil world. Whether there's a pandemic or not, whether there are riots or not, it's still an evil world. And yes, 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 there's a day coming when Christ will return and all this evil for us will be no more. But until then, there is evil. There is still an adversary. And yet, we don't have to wait until Christ returns to enjoy life, to enjoy the blessings God gives to us. Right in the middle of whatever is facing you or whatever you're dealing with from the enemy, God, our shepherd, prepares a table for us to enjoy right in the midst of it all. You know, God never promised us we would never face any adversity, but He has promised to lead us, to provide for us, to protect us. And He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. No matter what's going on, you don't have to wait until everything's hunky-dory. I can't enjoy life anymore till all. No, 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 no. You can, today, right now, enjoy the blessings that God has given you. And in addition to that, trust Him to continue to bless your life and to supply all that you need. He prepares. Lost my place there. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And verse 5 goes on, it says, you anoint my head with oil. In the Eastern culture, oil was used as a symbol of the presence of God. You can read in a number of places. One is in Genesis 28, where God gave Jacob a vision that He would take care of him and bless him so that his seed would be as the dust of the earth and God would never leave him. And then Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place and I didn't know it. And then so because of that, Jacob poured oil on the stones that he used for his pillow, it says, and declared that this place was God's house and God's presence was there. Anointing with oil was symbolic of the presence of God. Also in the Bible times, anointing a person with oil was a sign that God wants that person set apart. And so you read about priests and kings that were anointed with oil, indicating God had set them apart for something. In the Eastern culture, oil was also used for healing, pouring it on wounds. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, and he poured oil on the wounds there? Shepherds would use oil for healing the wounds of the hurt sheep. So if the Lord is my shepherd, if the Lord is our shepherd, then we are set apart. We belong to God. He has set us apart. If the Lord is my shepherd, then He provides healing for us. If the Lord is my shepherd, then we are in His presence. The Bible says we have His Spirit in us. The presence of God is in us. He anoints my head with oil. God has anointed you. You belong to Him. And then it says, my cup runs over. You know, when the shepherd filled the container with water for the sheep to drink, he never measured it out. He filled it to overflowing. So verse 1 told us, I shall not want. And here in verse 5, my cup runs over, overflowing. God's great abundance is ours. He provides to the end of running over. And then verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely, absolutely, mercy, goodness and mercy shall follow me. You know, the word follow means to follow after, to pursue, to run after, to chase after you, if you like. Well, where does goodness and mercy come from? It comes from God. God's great goodness and mercy will pursue after us. Oh my goodness. You ever remember, I don't know, when you're a kid or something and maybe somebody wanted to smack you or something, was chasing after you. You're trying to run fast to get away from them. Well, guess what? Goodness and mercy is chasing after you. God wants to bless your life. God wants to bless my life. And this beautiful psalm ends with, there in verse 6. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell. Oh, guess what? Whose choice is that? That's my choice. I will dwell. That's my choice. And again, we dwell with him. We stay close to him by carrying his words in our minds. We make his thoughts our thoughts. Remember not too long ago, we spent a little time in Psalm 91. I thought this morning, let's just read Psalm 91 together. If you'd flip over there, we'll just read it to close. Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence, the plague. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your right side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, dwelling with him. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep you in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I'll set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Let me read that again. Kind of got a little choked up. It's a beautiful verse. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Boy, what splendid imagery God uses in his word to show us his great love and concern for us. Here in Psalm 91, dwelling safely under his feathers and his wings. In Psalm 23 that we read, the Lord is my shepherd. For us Christians, for those of us who are born again, we are literally God's children. God is literally our Father. Because of birth, born from above, born again, God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is literally our Father and we are his children. God's not a literal shepherd. We're not literal sheep. This is a metaphor. God's using to paint a picture for us of who he is and what he'll do for us. Like a shepherd, God will lead us. He will provide for us and he will protect us. Now, you're probably not going to hear anything about this on the depressing news reports, but I'm here on the phone with you this morning with some really good news. How inspiring, how comforting these verses are, and how when we choose to believe them, they bring us God's deliverance and God's peace. We've read some really powerful verses about who God is and what he can and will do for us. Can we put all our trust in him? Because these are not just nice words on a page. These are the words of God. So the question is, do I believe them? Will I choose to dwell with him by putting his words in my mind, by trusting his promises, by looking unto him, by crying out unto him? It's our choice to dwell with him, to accept the protection of his wings, against anything and everything. It's our choice to accept and believe He is my shepherd, who leads, protects, and provides. And again, Psalm 23 ended with, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we just don't budge. I'm not moving. We stay the course. We fight the good fight. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Almighty God, our wonderful, gracious Heavenly Father, how blessed we are, how encouraged we are, how inspired we are to read these words about who You are, what You can do, what You will do, what You've promised to do, and that You would do it for us. We know we don't deserve it. We know we couldn't earn it. But Father, we're so grateful for Your love, for Your power, and that we could trust in You with all our hearts. Thank You for giving us Your word. Thank You, Father, for leading us, guiding us, and protecting us, and especially in these days that we live in. Thank You for Your peace that we need. Thank You, Father, for our minds staying on solid ground. And help us, Father, when we get frustrated. Help us, Father, when we need Your help, Your provision, Your healing. Father, may we continue to look to You and trust You with all our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, thanks for joining us this week. I'm going to post this teaching on the blog. I think when I post it on the blog, I was thinking of adding, at the end of it, adding Lisa Tracy's song, Put Your Trust in God. I think that might be kind of nice. I would do it here, but on the phone line, the quality would be horrible and you'd all hang up real quick. We'll be back next week, same time, same number. I'm planning next week on teaching about God leading and directing our steps. Feel free to give the info to anybody that you think might be blessed to join us. And again, I'm thankful that you're with us here this morning, so I will unmute. God bless you all.
You think you can't, you don't feel equal to it, can't seem to find the strength to do it. You're tired of trying on your own and feeling like you're all alone. Demands are made, time runs out, you're in a hurry, you're starting to doubt. But stop, time to take a breath and say, I will walk with God today. Put your trust in God, He's your only one. Put your trust in God, you can go to Him, cast your care on Him, for He cares for you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart. Put your trust in God, He's your home. Trust in God, you can go to Him, cast your care on Him, for He cares for you. Trust in God. your care on him, for he cares for you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Put your trust in God. He's your only one. Put your trust in God. You can go to him, cast your care on him.